Welcome to the Talk Over podcast, a conversational platform for the DJs, by the DJs, brought to you by Double and Stylus.
Swag.
Tune in every week to hear us talk about all the things we see, hear and experience as DJs. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel by simply searching Talk Over podcast on either Spotify or Apple Music.
Bro, you know what? I've thrown myself in the deep end today.
Why?
I've made the schoolboy of schoolboy errors.
Oh, don't what?
Last week I was on Twitch doing the proper vibes thing. It dawned on me that this week, obviously tonight at midnight, J. Cole's new album's dropping, right?
And you've not got it for the stream.
No. I mean, it's not out. It's not out until midnight. I don't think that actually, you know what? That's a good shout. They might send it out just before the evening. So radio and that, I've got it. But anyway, the album drops at midnight. And so last week, big up DJ K. I think it was him that floated the idea. Someone planted the seed in my head, and said that basically they gave me the idea of doing a J. Cole stream tonight. I think it was someone in the comments. Anyway, came up with the idea of doing a J. Cole stream tonight. So just J. Cole in the streamage. And then, like an idiot, exactly like I used to do back in the school days, I haven't been doing my homework, bruv. Like, absolutely no prep until this afternoon when I started cramming the prep in. Because I thought, you know, usually I just jump on the Twitch. I jump into the live stream with just, I have a couple of tunes in a playlist, like a fair idea of what might get played. And then it just goes from there. Like, I just make it up as I go along. People in the chat get involved and suggest, like, oh, why don't you play this cut from Nas or Dr. Dre or Exhibit? And I'm like, yeah, shit, that'll do. And we just proper talk about music, do you know what I mean? Then it just vibes and goes off. And yeah, I've completely been absolutely cramming it in, pause, this afternoon.
What? this is why you should, whenever you plan a track list, you never stick to the track list, man.
No.
I don't think I've ever prepped a set. Or there's been times where I've spent hours prepping. I get to my gig or I go to do my stream and the vibe just feels completely different.
Yeah.
So the way you've like pre-imagined it in your head. You know what I mean? See people throw shouts in, yeah, and then you can end up going on the next direction. You're going that way, this way.
But you know what it is, though? Because I'm like, okay, cool. This stream tonight is going to be for the J. Cole fans. And I'm talking about, like, the fans. Do you know what I mean? The mixtape fans.
I got you. Like, yeah. Track seven.
Yeah. Them ones there.
Your mixtape release.
Those ones right there. So I'm like, okay, yeah. I'm a big J. Cole fan anyway, but I'm like, I mean, some of his earlier stuff's like 12 years old, bro. So like, I need to refresh and I need to pull out a couple of the gems. And they're not obvious ones. So obviously, I'm playing like obviously the big ones and the big gems, of course, like standard. But I'm like, yeah, I want to be playing stuff that when there's someone at home listening, they're like, oh, what is this?
Look, I'm loving this Twitch plug at the start of the show.
Twitch.tv/DJDouble.
By the time you're listening to this, you would have already missed it.
Yeah, you missed it. It was 5 days ago, mate. I'm eating on the podcast as well. It's so rude.
Listen, I eat regular, mate. I don't know if you can hear me. I don't know if you can hear me, but I try and hold it down. The thing is, this is my mouth protection.
I was going to say, to be fair, I've been sat in front of you on a video and actually not even clocked that you've been eating on the pod. So
yeah, I eat every week. I just try it because these are directional mics. You literally just go like this and you won't hear it.
Yeah.
I can hear you chomping there, brother. What mic are you using? Condenser?
Oh, mate, I've got a Rode NT1A condenser mic. Bad boy mic.
Got one of these.
They're so good. They pick up your thoughts.
Yeah, bro, listen. If mum wants to hear what I did this morning, just stick your ear close to the microphone, bro. I got my Rode, my Procaster.
Yeah, they're good, them ones.
Yeah, they're decent, man. It doesn't pick up any extra noise and that. These are super sensitive, especially if you're streaming and you want to keep the music loud in the studio. Obviously, you can do the trip with the channel now, so when you lift the mic fader up, it can cut off the music. But if you want to just keep the music vibing,
yeah,
with these, the music doesn't feed back in.
Yeah, no, that's the sick thing. I've got the perfect. I've got like I can't remember what the model number is, but I've got the Shure one that I take to all the clubs as well. And absolutely no feedback whatsoever.
Well, it's not an SM58, is it? Or the standard.
Yeah. Like the Shure's version of the Technics 1210, basically. Yeah, yeah. So the industry standard, nuclear bomb proof, absolutely amazing.
Bro, I'll tell you what's the worst, yeah, which is probably never going to happen again going forward. Sharing mics in the club, fam. I know you have this thing because we spoke about it before. Double brings his own mic. Same, I bring my own mic. But there's been times over the years where a man will pass you a mic. Shit be dripping in spit, smelly. Thing be smelling up and that. But like, bruv, we need some microphone etiquette now moving forward. Or bring your own microphone.
Yeah, this is a thing for me, right? I've always been proper weird about sharing my mic. I hate it. Absolutely hate it. I hate sharing a mic. Even, bruv, this pre-pandemic, even with my friends, there was times when I had friends in the club.
Bro, there's no friends when it comes to spitting on a microphone.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, can you? Well, this is something that's always baffled me as well. Why artists don't bring their own mic to the club?
True.
Why does an artist not, like, very few of them, they usually have it on a technical rider if it's a bigger artist.
A lot of them ask for the rider. Like, I remember when we did the Drake after party last time.
Yeah.
And, like, we had to get all these wireless mics in and, like, they were very specific with what they wanted to use and stuff like that. So
it baffles me that each artist, because I've got a favourite mic, innit? There's one mic that comes with me to all my club jobs.
I got a favourite mic.
I do. And but it's sick because there's no feedback. It's just comfortable. It sounds great. Like, everything about it's good. I'm, like, if I ever have to use other mics in the club, which, to be fair, I obviously haven't for the longest time, but I've never liked it. I've never liked how they sound, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't understand why artists don't just...
I'm going to take this to the club for my first setback. I'm just staying in the booth like, yo!
Feedback central.
One time for the ladies.
Old school.
And I'm gonna leave this on and this and just hold it like a G, like it's a like one of them old, what are them old cups called? Goblet, like a goblet. Is that what it's called? Imagine me in a booth like, oh,
like a chalice.
Yeah, that's it.
Stood there like Little John in the club. Oh, Little John actually had some bangers, you know.
I remember when we had Little John one time in Manny, and on his rider.
No way.
Was chicken wings, bruv.
Legend.
Chicken wings and like specific color towels and that. Like the towels, they had to be black towels.
Really? Yeah,
really? They had to be black towels. He fucking shelled it though, bro. Like, but yeah, bro, listen, the kids will never know. The kids will never know. Whenever you used to drop that, dum dum dum, dum dum dum. What happened to the East Side Boys?
Yeah, what did happen to the? What happened to the East Side Boys?
What happened to the East? What happened to Little John? Like, he's still. I know he's still
Yang
active.
Twins. No, Little John
still active.
Is,
I saw he was on Switch.
Really? I would like to look that up. You know, but Little John. He's got a catalogue, bruv. Like, if you think about his catalogue, just off of Usher, yeah, he's probably just living life off of that one song.
Yeah, because they had the original version got released, but then in like the video version, I think Lil Jon had like an extended feature, an extended part, I think, if I remember rightly.
He's one of those producers, isn't it? Like, I feel like P. Diddy, someone might correct me on this, but I feel like P. Diddy started this. Where producers are like, they want to get up next to the artist. Like, I want to be next to the artist.
Did he wanted to be all up in it, bruv?
Take that.
Bro, listen, I'll be that guy. I'll be that guy, bruv. I will be that guy. If you say to me, yeah, just jump in the background, gas it up a little bit. Come on. All of that.
Take that. Yeah, to be fair.
Who else does it?
Khaled. Khaled's the worst. He's the worst.
On his new album, it's like every single song has to have the trademark. DJ Khaled.
Another one.
Strategically placed before the drop every time in the most important part of the record.
You know he's a DJ. You know he's a DJ because he knows exactly where that song is getting mixed over. Yeah, so that is getting mixed at the exact perfect time for it to go, DJ Khaled.
Bro,
that guy is a genius.
There's no way you can skip around it.
No way.
Like, he puts it in a spot where he knows, can't skip that bit. That bit's got to drop.
You can't splice that out.
That bit right there's got to breathe. Can't splice that out. Can't copy that over.
Even the intro versions. Even the intro versions have to cut to that.
Because then at the end of the intro, it goes before the drop, the DJ Khaled bit cuts back in.
DJ Khaled. What a gangster.
The album's all right, man. It's just all right.
Last week, by the time we had podded last week, obviously the album was out and I hadn't listened to it, but I had a listen through. And yeah, my thoughts remain. Obviously, we covered it last week, but it was a good album, but it wasn't like, it's not a classic album. It's not one that I'm going to still be running for forever and ever.
Hella strong. Ooh.
I still listen to Pop Smoke's album, bruv. That's still a classic to me. Like, I'm still blasting that.
I find it hard to put new albums on repeat. Like, there's only... I don't know what it is, man. They don't retain the same value. Like, some do. But I don't know, man. I can't remember the last album, New School album, that I heard and I'm just blown away and I've had it on repeat ever since. Like, or if it's a good album, it might go on repeat for like a year or something like that. But then they always kind of just fall by the wayside a little bit. I don't know why that is. I think it's just because I'm just an old school guy. That's probably why. I don't know. The albums don't hit the same.
Nah, but it's also the turnaround of music, man. Like, it's the problem is we get like, at peak times, we're getting 7 days to sit with an album before someone else is dropping an album. Do you know what I mean? And then it's like onto that. And as us as well, because this is the job, like, we have to go through everyone's music. So it's not even like, you can't even sit on DJ Khaled's album for a week because so many other people have dropped albums or dropped singles or there's other stuff going on or a new dancehall rhythm's come out or, do you know what I mean? Where we're covering so many different scopes, right? We're not just focusing on one very specific thing. So we're covering all of these different bases. And bruv, it's difficult, man. I have a folder. Every time I do my Serato, like every time I got new music into my Serato, I've got folders for what month? Shut up. I've got folders.
Sorry.
For what month the songs are coming in. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then when I'm doing stuff like if I'm cooking, the laptop's plugged into the speaker in the kitchen and I'm listening to music or whatnot. And then I'll go through the new songs of the month. But at the end of every month, I've still got like 250, 300 songs that I haven't heard. And then the new month's music's coming in. There's literally more music being made and being sent to me than I physically have time to listen to.
It's true, man.
Crazy.
And then you've not even put in, like, even Spotify, like, I'll go and like the new releases and, like, leave them stored and then try and go back to them. But they just end up stacking up ridiculous. Yeah. There ain't enough hours in the day to take them all in. Take them in properly.
No.
Like actually absorb them. Like, I always say back in the day, yeah, when you used to go and buy an album and... Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And you could open it up, look at the credits. You got the booklet inside, the imagery, like the whole thing was dope. And you would sit there and take that album in.
Yeah.
Just completely different, just for the fact that you're actually purchasing something solid in your hand, isn't it? Like when it's on Spotify, you know, it's just there. You're kind of just not really in a hurry to tap into.
You've hit the nail on the head. There's no urgency. There's no urgency to listen to it. Like Khaled's album dropped, bro. It was over a week until I listened to it.
Yeah.
I don't have a shit to listen to.
I waited a couple of days, but only because of the track list features that were on there.
I do think it's how invested in the artist you are. Sure. Like, for example, J. Cole's album's dropping tonight. I'm staying up till midnight as soon as it's live. I'm not even lying. As soon as it's live.
And Cole's the truth, man.
Obviously, I've said before, like, I go to bed early now at the moment while I'm not DJing in the clubs and stuff. I'm going to bed early. So... like staying up to midnight to listen to an album is a big deal.
I think Cole's an exception when we're talking about like he puts proper bodies of work together, man. Like, and there's more storytelling. Like, there's just more to J. Cole's projects. He reminds me of an old school cat.
It's not just old.
He's
school,
got
though.
That original hip hop essence about him, innit? The way he approaches his music. I fucks with J. Cole heavy, man.
Yeah, it's not just the old school thing. It's J. Cole covers what I consider real hip hop, like or what people would call conscious hip hop. Do you know what I mean? Even though he's current, he's not an, he's far from a new artist, but he's still not an old school artist. So he's current, he's a current artist, but he's making conscious stuff, but he's also making stuff that can slap in the club. Like Cole makes the type of hip hop everyone should make. If you're a rapper,
Baz basically saying, if you're not J. Cole, your hip hop music's dead.
No, what I mean is like, J. Cole, yeah, if you call yourself a rapper, you should have some music that people could compare to J. Cole. The same way that if you rap and sing a little bit, people are like, oh yeah, I mean, it's blah, 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 Drake. If a new artist comes out and they can sing and rap, they're getting compared to Drake. Do you know what I mean? The same way that if you're a new rapper coming out, you should have something in the tank that people could compare to J. Cole. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. But I mean, I am very, very biased because I'm a huge J. Cole fan. So, and also like, his catalog's super fresh in my head because I've been listening to it all day, like from the early mixtapes to the latest albums. I've literally been back to back J. Cole.
I definitely still run some of J. Cole's older rhythm today. When I said I don't still run people's music, but J. Cole's earlier stuff still gets rinsed, to be fair.
Yeah, bro, absolutely.
It holds value, man. Big up J. Cole. Man, them. Anyway, Drake wasn't even the first motherfucker to sing and rap. Hell, man, I'm out here like Drake invented that shit.
Oh, no, I know that.
But before Drake, we had Ja Rule. He was more of a singer, innit? He didn't really rap, Nate Dogg. He did rap, but it wasn't like rapper, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I wouldn't class Nate Dogg as a rapper.
No, he was just more like...
He was the hook, man.
Singing words.
Yeah. Nate Dogg was cold, bro. Nate Dogg was one of my favorite West Coast artists. anyway, before we jump into the karaoke, we've got a guest coming on today. He's ready to jump in. Should we bring him in?
Are we introing him?
Yeah, so this guy is a guy that I met 2019. I interviewed.
Oh, you've met before?
Oh, yeah, of course. That's how sick. Yeah. So DJ Kid is our guest today, and he is the official DJ for, funnily enough, another North Carolina artist, DaBaby. Someone who's super popping today, one of the biggest rappers, most current relevant rappers in the business right now. DaBaby came over to the UK for a tour in 2019. And just going to flex my muscles here. I did the first UK interview with DaBaby. You're done. It was that very same day that I met a very young, excited to be in the UK DJ.
I was about to say.
And he's called DJ Kid. So I'm pushing the button.
Bring him in.
He's coming in. He's loading in. There's a drum roll. You know what? There's always that excitement before people come in. I'm always interested to see what the backdrop is.
I need to update mine still.
I swear you only just did.
Yeah. Different mic. Different magazine cards.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Let's see. Get it out of the way, right? Yes.
Yo!
There we go.
My guy.
What's good?
What's going on, brother?
What's going on, bro? How are you?
All good, man. How's things for you?
It's great, bro. It's been a minute since we got to sit down and talk, see each other.
Yeah, we were literally just talking about that. 2019 when you guys came over to the UK, right?
That's like two, 3 years ago. That's crazy, bro. A lot has changed.
Yeah.
Pre-COVID as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's 2 years, but it feels like about 5 years for me, man, with all the stuff that's happened here.
For sure, though.
So what's going on, man?
Nah, man, I'm working. I'm in album mode. I'm in DJ, artist, producer, engineer, superstar mode right now.
Yeah, spinning thousands of plates.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Even it's bigger than just spinning right now. Like, I'm in super producer mode. I was about to
get it.
Yeah, I'm really about to sign a deal, a crazy deal. I can't even believe I just said that, but I haven't told nobody.
Oh shit, we got the exclusive, yeah.
Chris is gonna email me after this, right? Yeah, you got to chop out the whole first half of the podcast now.
Oh, we're here now.
The beans have been spilled.
Yes. Sick. So whereabouts are you right now? Where in the world? North Carolina?
Yeah, right now I'm in North Carolina. About to head to LA, finish up some stuff, some mixing, mastering, all that.
What's the distance? My US geography is terrible. I know where New York is. I know where Boston is. And I know where LA is.
That's on the other side of the world to us. Like LA and like New York, that's like a 5-hour flight.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, so we on the East Coast, they on the West Coast.
Yo, right. Everything's so far away in America, man. Like in the UK, you can get from top to the bottom in like 2 hours or some shit.
Good luck. 2 hours. It ain't happening over here. You got to get on a flight and then get on a train to go to the next spot. Like,
yeah.
It is whatever.
So how's the last 12 months been for you? What is the what have the rules been? Because obviously I know it's been different in different states. But yeah. So in the UK, I don't know if you know, but we've been in like pretty much a complete lockdown. All the clubs, live shows, everything's been stopped.
Yeah. I mean, really, like we've been on the same type of time over here, but it's like people, they just don't care. They really don't. Like, so
I hear that.
Like the private parties or whatever, the private strip, like it's strip clubs that aren't even really strip clubs now. Like they just finding abandoned buildings and throwing like
events. Not putting them bootleg parties on, man.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah,
like that. But as far as like lockdown, like we were on crazy lockdown a couple months ago. Like when everybody was catching COVID, it was like, don't come outside. Liquor stop at like 9 p.m. You got a curfew at 10 p.m. If we catch you outside, we're locking you up. And I was like, all right, wow. I'm going to be in the crib.
They had a curfew on liquor. Mad.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like,
they don't even want man to turn up.
Yeah, liquor was shut down at like 9 p.m. So if you thought you were about to get drunk after 9 in like a public place, go to the crib. They're giving you apple juice and water.
Oh, my
days. I thought that was the case in America anyway. I remember being in New York one time and I couldn't buy alcohol because it was past a certain time.
Oh, nah. See, nah. I don't think it was like that before, for unless in some places, they probably like, everybody might have been an alcoholic. And they didn't want
that's probably how I looked.
it's definitely been shut down, but you feel me? I'm not going to lie. That shutdown gave people a lot of time to do what they need to do.
Real talk. I was about to say, like, have you managed to stay, like, still active, like, with the restrictions in place? Like, I see you still moving around. Like, how's it been?
I'm not even going to lie. Like, COVID, even how, like, bad to the world COVID may look, but COVID gave me a time to, like, chill out. We were on tour for, like, a whole year and a half. Mm-hmm. No sitting down, no time for me to really, like, invest. Well, I was able to invest in my craft, but like build with like other artists and stuff too at the same time. So COVID gave me the time to sit back, game plan on what I want to do with this water, what I want to do with my own brand as a DJ, producer, and everything else I got going on, and sit there and think like, okay, K2O Water. Like I'm in a bidding war with K2O Water kind of because of COVID. You feel me? Because I had the time to sit down. Yeah, right. I had to sit down and build it from like the ground up and foundation. So COVID, it treated me pretty well. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So expand on that a little bit, because for the people listening that don't know or don't follow you on Instagram, they won't even realize that you have your own water brand.
Yeah, so, and what's crazy is I'm honestly about to start another water brand too, for real. So, yeah, so K2O Water, pretty much what I started myself after being on tour for a whole year and a half of drinking everybody else's water and telling people like, drink your MF and water, da da da, cussing at people, smacking the camera with water bottles and all of that. You feel me? Encouraging them at the same time, though, like, you tripping, drink your water. I did all of that to pretty much shed light and bring light to like the young kids, like in the same position as me. Like, drinking, we do that too. We go party, we getting lit, we going to concerts, raves, all that. But we worried about our health at the same time.
Hydration is key, man.
Hey, come on, it's important. How you expect to be a superstar or super successful and you're not healthy? You got to be able to wake up and move how you want to move. So drinking your MF and water. So now I'm at the point where like, okay, we took K2O from the ground up to a bidding war between, I'm going to just say C&P, you feel me? If you know, you're going to catch on. And then so it's time to bring up another one. I wanna you feel me, be an influence in this water company business somewhere that I'm really not supposed to be as a producer. Or
it's a smart move, man, because like everybody drinks water, bro. Like the water, that shit doesn't stop. Like everybody needs to drink. Like it's not gonna go anywhere.
It's not going nowhere. It's here.
Yeah, the rest I'm here of my for life that.
And so, you feel me? And for the older people, like merging the gap. It's like I call it the fountain of youth. You feel me? Some people drink water to feel like, or to be honest, the truth is drinking water will help you stay looking younger and your skin being refreshing. And you feel me? You'll portray the image. You feel me? That you pretty much want to, like the wrinkles. If you drink enough water, you won't have hella wrinkles in your face. You feel me?
Yeah, like, it's true.
It's a fact. Like if you want to look it up, it's a fact. If you do your research. So it's like the older people don't say that I'm just catering toward the young people because I want y'all to drink y'all water too and be healthy.
What's the difference for K2O water? Is it like, does it contain something extra? Like, is there some extra, like what's like the USP?
It's like the meeting point between spring water and alkaline water. So like,
okay,
alkaline water, your pH is skyrocketing through the roof, usually above 9. I'm in the middle at like 8.5, 8.3. Crazy. So that's like a good sitting place. Some people don't even understand what spring water and alkaline water is. If you want to be honest, they're really the same thing, but having a higher pH balance makes a huge difference in your and the taste of the water.
Yo, this guy sounds like a professional, like,
you're like a scientist, bro.
I'm in there. I'm on that. I'm the water boy. You feel me? I'm the water boy. I'm the real water boy.
The branding is complete now, bro. Yo, you got it nice, you know.
Keep me like on the sidewalk and then test me, like, kid, what's in your water?
Yes. This is a DJ podcast, but I'm super interested in this. How do you even go about starting that kind of company? Like, how do you, obviously I'm not trying to get you to give the secrets away, but how do you source where to get the water from? How is it manufactured? Like, obviously not manufactured, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's an interesting topic.
How do you
man.
Even put that business together?
It's just like putting together any business. Some people fall short at the fact of thinking about it and they so scared to take the first step, go on Google and look up, how do I start my own water company? Or what's the first step? Like, what do I need to do? Start an LLC. Some people are scared to start an LLC because, and don't see how simple it is because they're not looking for it. Mm-hmm. They're like, this is too hard for me to take the step to go to the next level. It's too big. No, it's not. Go on Google, look up how to create an LLC. And it's like $150 for you to register your stuff with somebody else. And then once they do that, they're like, I've been holding back on my whole career for years for $100. All I had to do was get on Google and look at this.
This is the thing, man. All the info is there, bro. All the info you need is online, man.
No, it's that simple, bro. So like, it's just like, get into it. Take the first step and go figure it out. And that's what I pretty much did. I'm like, using everybody else's water, I'd rather make money off of my own water because if I'm supporting somebody else's brand, and being their brand ambassador, why not do that for myself?
Real talk.
I took initiative, put it in motion.
That's where most people fail, man. It's actually taking that leap and doing the first step in it. Like people get the ideas and then they kind of don't go past the idea. It's like, you just got to take that leap of faith, man.
Telling you, bro.
I've done that a bunch of times. Do you know how many sick ideas I've had? I could be a trillionaire by now, but I'm like, nah, it ain't going to work out.
It ain't going to work out. It might look large into you, but it's really not. Just take this step, bro. That's to anybody.
Mm. So let's talk about like how you got into DJing and stuff and your early experiences with music as well.
Like as far as DJing, well, before all of this, honestly, I was an artist. My mom was an artist. I was watching her make music. So I'm like, okay, I want to do that too. I like the way my mama voice sound. I want to be able to do that. So I'm starting to make music. That's when I was super young. And then as I got older, I get in high school, I'm like, DJing, I can make, at first it was, I'm not gonna lie, I was a little influenced from the fact that I can make $500 for like 2 hours DJ out here. And I'm like, okay, I'm a high school student. I'm trying to go buy like McDonald's like for the rest of my life. So $500, I'm good every day. That's like two cheeseburgers every day. You feel me? So I'm like, whatever. But then I understand, like, I love the music. And I'm like, I can be the life of the party and people can come to my events. Like, I was known in my city for the events where it was no drama, like no fights, no shootouts outside after the event. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm bringing people to the positive energy. So you could be going through whatever at the crib and come to one of my events. And it's like, I'm not even thinking about that. I'm trying to turn up. I'm trying to walk in here and get danced on by a girl.
My God. Have fun.
So being able to do that was a big thing for me. So taking that to the next level, I let the artist stuff go. I'm like, whatever. I'm about to be a DJ. Because a DJ is the plug. If you think about it, to get your music to your audience or even to some of these executives, it just have an ear, like, or even being able to talk to a DJ, like, how does this sound if you were to play this on the radio or to play this in a club? Like, you think I would be able to sit well in that market? I'm like, I want to be that guy. You feel me? I'm the guy that pretty much these records have to come through to get to the audience. So I got emotion with it. I'm like, yeah, let's take over. I want to be the best, the hardest. And then when I figured out like all of the old heads, it was like you had to, it was like a stereotype. You had to be an old head to get like a platinum plaque or like to be able to DJ these like 50,000 plus crowds and arenas and stuff. I'm like, nah, I want to do that right now. I want to stop the stereotype on that and start it up for the youngest. So I respect
the honesty, man, because like normally when you ask DJs how they got into it and they'll come with like this deep story and like there's a whole barrel of magazine. Well, I'm looking to get paid and turn up. Man. I'm here for that shit.
I wanted the money and I was turned up. You crazy. I could play music that I was playing in the car already just to be lit.
I'm here for that. You're kind of in a perfect position as well, like doing the artistry and the DJ. And like you say, the DJ is the plug. Now that you're kind of working on your own music and your own projects, you've got like the perfect like mesh now, innit?
It's merging them for sure. And some people don't even understand, like, we got the DJ Khaled's, we got the Jazzy, we got the Jazzy Jeffs. Let's start there. Then we got the DJ Khaled's, we got the DJ Mustards. You got like DJ Puffy overseas. What young DJ do we really have that's putting out his own records right now? Like, that's supported by like a major artist and like has like a entertainment side to him. Like, I could start a TV show right now just off of like what I do and what I be saying, like around saying funny shit all the time. You feel me? So I'm trying to shift the culture 2021 of like producer or DJs labeled as producers, artists putting out their own records. But these labels looking at them like, okay, you got all of these songs stored up that you might have produced for an artist, but we see that you are super entertaining. Why can't you just drop them? If you might have the same influence as this artist, but you feel me? Like shining your own light type of situation. So that's what I'm on.
Trying
to shift the whole culture.
Just before you jumped in, actually, we were talking about DJ Khaled and we were discussing about how actually like some of the best producers are DJs as well, because they understand the structure of the music and look at it. They look at it from so many different angles, not just sat in the studio making stuff. Like Khaled, we were saying his producer tag, that DJ Khaled, is always just before the drop. So when you're spinning it in the club, you can't even take that out.
Come on, you feel me? That's like, it's like genius, because DJs are going to put their tag. When we DJ, I'm going to drop my tag, you feel me, to catch it. It might catch on somebody's story while they're making a story or whatever.
Yeah,
the Khaled already has it embedded in the record. It's not going nowhere. You would have thought he was DJing at the party.
It's the way he strategically places it as well. He always puts it in a section where you can't cut that shit out.
Like, yeah,
it's right before the drop.
Say you're a DJ and like you bringing in like an 8-bar loop or like the instrumental first. That's cool. You feel me? He could have put his tag up there, but it's like, some of y'all are not going to use that 8-bar loop, so I'm going to put it right before.
That was exactly what he's doing, man. Yeah. Mad. Do you still feel young in the game, bro? Because like, even though you are, I feel like you've done so much, and like you've been here and you're doing this. You got the businesses are moving, the production, the DJing, the touring. But you're still so young, man. Like, how do you feel?
I'm not gonna lie to you. Sometimes I don't feel as young. Like,
okay,
people look at me and they'll be like, bro, are you like 27, 28 years old? I'm like, nah, bro, I'm 22, bro.
Crazy.
So like, I kind of have to like sit back and like get in my own world of like being a youngin. Like, I have to look at like some of the people I grew up with, like, okay, this is what y'all doing. Y'all in college, you feel me, going to Pizza Hut and shit, like, straight it up. I'm like, damn, that's what I was really supposed to be in college until I got kicked out. But it's like, shoot, I like the position I'm in. Like, I still feel kind of young when I'm like trying to switch the culture up and stuff like that. But I definitely feel like an old head in some ways too.
Is there anyone guiding you? Like, you mentioned about your mom was doing music before and that kind of influenced you to be an artist. Is there anyone that's kind of like, oh, you should try this or try it out? Or is this just stuff that you're observing and coming up with?
I ain't gonna lie to you. I've always been the type to be like on my own island. That's kind of why I be saying Waterboy time sometimes, because like I be in my own world, bro. Like, even when it's when it comes to like listening to music, if you listen to my production style, people would be like, this kid probably doesn't even listen to hip hop music because his beats sound like something he would make for Katy Perry or like somebody on the other side of the spectrum. So yeah, nah.
You can definitely hear the influences. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Did you grow up listening to hip hop, or was you just straight? Was your catalog just open and varied?
I'm not gonna lie, I was always like super different. Like, I was listening to hip hop for sure, like rap and turning up all of that. But I wasn't as like the people that around me that were like in my like community in the same situation. Like, they were listening to hard rap, like Waka Flocka, Chief Keef, all of that. I was listening to like Katy Perry and like
that's all
pop people and rap, because I don't know, I was trying to hear like something different than what was going on. Like, I was trying to get outside of my environment for her.
Some of these pop records got the dopest melodies though, man. Bro. And people sleep on these joints.
Oh my god, don't
you can you can listen to hip hop and listen to pop, like you can take all that shit in.
Bro, in the UK, like, bro, it's so many, like, y'all got some crazy producers, bro. Like,
real talk.
I'm trying to sign some of like the producers over there. So if it's a producer listening to this, like if you're in the UK or you overseas anywhere, hit me up, because I love y'all sound. Like, I'm trying to like reach the hand over there. Like, yeah, what's up, bro? Like, you got some fire. Let's like merge. Let's like meet me in the middle so we can bring both of these sides on board. You feel me? So,
yo, Double, we're going to have to connect some Ooh, dots here, bro.
Bro,
yeah,
bro, I'm with it. Let's go, bro. Please.
Trust me. Yeah, you're over here later this year, right? Like July, August time. Yeah.
You guys are in my hometown, actually. You guys are in Manchester, man, for Park Life. I think the baby's on that. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I live like a mile from that spot.
Yeah, I'm
coming to see you guys, man.
I was gonna say we'll set you up with a studio tour once you're over here, man. You'll be connecting everybody. Don't worry.
Yeah, we can do that.
Come on, because I ain't gonna lie to you. The first time we came out there, it was crazy. Like, it was a movie, bro. Like, I never seen. I'm gonna be real, because we came out there and it was like, what shows were we on? It was some crazy festivals, and I'm talking about like 30,000, like 50,000 deep. I'm like, oh my god, why they show up? And I didn't expect like for us to get that much love over there. So
that was the perfect time as well, though, because that's when the babies, like the hit records, were really hot here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a great time.
That was really like one of the like the first five records that went crazy like in the world. So when we went over there and like everybody was singing Suge like word for word, it was like, okay, it's what we're doing. Let's take over the world.
Yeah. Do you find, like, talking of UK producers, I know like there's a few guys that are really influencing the drill sound in Brooklyn at the moment. Is that sound, is it spreading across like more of the hip hop scope across America, or is it still very localized to New York?
I would say probably like even as a DJ, I'd say like it's localized in New York still, but it's spreading. Like people are still trying to dabble in that, but like some people aren't doing it the right way, so they'll get a little backlash from like New York or like UK. They're like, nah. You feel me? Like, stick to like your southern rap. Like, but it's definitely making its way around. Like R.P. the Pop Smoke, but he had it going buku crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going crazy. Yeah.
And his, you know, 808 Mello is a UK guy.
He's a UK kid. Really?
Yeah, man.
He's the guy that produced Welcome to the Party, Dior, like a bunch of the stuff. And I think he executive produced the album as well.
Wow. Yeah, he's hard.
Yeah, UK producer.
UK. Was that your first time in the UK last time? UK, was that two years back? Was that the first time here?
I had never been to the UK, so it was like a whole different world to me. Yeah, but the UK is lit. I love the UK. I'm ready to go back.
July times, man. What they are. Yeah, man. All right. So, born in LA, grew up in Charlotte. Let's talk about like your journey towards like linking up with DaBaby and doing like the whole tour thing. I did a bit of research and read up on some stuff. And I hear you kind of came in as like a little bit of a stand-in the first time you and DaBaby done. Is that legit?
That's all the way valid. So like ECU, what was that? 2018, 2019, beginning of 2019, or it might have been 2018 actually. It was a ECU. This is when I was in my college DJing days, like
okay,
taking gigs and you feel me, having fun and doing what I was telling you about. So ECU, I got booked by my boy Stemp. He was the party promoter. I was the DJ for the event. And my guy, one of the homies, I knew him. He was like a DJ, so I knew him. You feel me? I didn't even know he really DJed for Baby until he called me. And he like, yeah, I missed my flight. I can't drive down there. Can you stand there for me? I'm like, maybe I might be able to call.
let me think about it for a second.
He's like, I might be able to do this. I got you, bro. I'll try to stand there for you.
You was trying to play it cool, innit? You was playing it cool, bro.
Oh, no. So, all right. At this point, was Baby a household name in North Carolina? Like, was he really popping or was he still like kind local. Of relatively underground?
He was definitely underground, but he was coming. This is when Baby had like 50,000 followers.
Right. Okay. So, yeah. Locally, he's a guy, but I think 2018, we didn't really know him over in the UK.
Nah. So, Baby was definitely coming up. Like, this was his coming up stage. So.
Right.
Man, Baby pull up, his manager, Carter pull up, he hand me a flash drive. I'm like, okay, I don't need this flash drive, bro. You feel me? Like, I take like one, two songs that I did have. I think only thing I didn't have was 21 and No Love. So I put it on there. I'm like, I got it. He like, so watch how Baby moves. You feel me? He gonna signal or say something that's like a character or a shortcut to like what he about to play next. I'm like, okay, that's what we doing. I'm a smart kid. I'm gonna figure it out. So Carter started tapping me. He like, yeah, pay attention. I'm like, I'm paying attention, bro. Relax. Baby, bring him up the street. Da, da, da. I'm like, okay. So that's his record up the street. He didn't say really up the street. He was like, tell them dudes down the street that something I got beef with them. And I'm like, okay, if they down the street, that means they need to come up the street. So I cue up the street, played it. He looked at me.
Okay. Right.
Like, okay, that's what we're doing. And then it was just that energy, that chemistry throughout the whole set. I leave, go home. I'm like, dang, that was a dope experience. I'm thinking about like how I'm gonna promote myself and market this to my fans, like to my supporters. Like, I just DJed for DaBaby. He going crazy, like in our city right now. That might like turn me up a little bit. Whatever. They called me, Carter, like, yeah, Baby, like your voice. He wanna rock with you. Let's get on the road. I'm like, come on. I didn't want no money, bro. I just wanted to be a part of something bigger than me, than what I had going on. I'm like, let's go then. So they paid me like $100, you feel me, for that show, like for a minute. But I was so ready to like be down with that, bro. I'm like, yeah, I'm not tripping on the money. This is gonna be something big.
This could be huge.
Like, yeah, like I saw what was going on at the same time, and he saw what was going on inside of me. So it was like a 50-50 split with like me and Baby. He was like, yeah.
What was your current situation at the time before you took that set? Was you just like DJing locally, like the college parties kind of thing?
I was at UNCG. I was in college. You feel me? And it's so crazy. Like right before I got on the road with Baby, they kicked me out of college.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
What was it? What'd you get kicked out for?
Bro, I got kicked out of a DJ, a party with the school. With the school, bro.
What?
Freaking school. So listen.
I'm a DJ in school, you know.
Yeah, elaborate on that. Bro,
it doesn't even make any sense because it's like, okay, it was called Block Party, right? So I'm like, okay, as a DJ, it was my event with the school. UNCG is on the flyer. They're like, yeah, what was it? Fried Chicken Wednesdays. That's what it was. Fried Chicken Wednesdays. I plug up, play music, bring everybody out. You feel me? Like from all the other schools, they like. So I ended up filling up like 5,000 people. This was like the first event of the year. You feel me? Wow. I'm like, hey, I didn't know it couldn't. It like you should have told me it was a limit or something. So, I'm having people from like outside the school come. And that's probably really what ticked them off. So they're like, it's too much twerking going on.
Not enough working.
I'm like, what is this? Is this a block party or a stop party? Like, are they supposed to stop dancing or something? So they come down, the administrator or whatever you call the person, the dean of students or whatever. Fuck the dean of students. They come down there. they're like, yeah, you got to turn the music off. So I hand them the mic, like, say this to these people. It's 5,000 people. They got the damn shaking in their boots. They was like, nah. So I took the mic back. I'm like, yeah, they're trying to stop us, y'all. They don't want me to play no music. They want us to just be out here drinking apple juice and stuff. So
the party. They kicked you out of college for throwing parties, man.
Oh, it was that's over, though. Nobody left. But then they tried to tell me, you got to pay like $2,000 for the electricity bill. I'm like,
damn.
How does that make any sense?
I'm like, first of all, electricity, $2,000 for a few hours, you're lying. That's like a
month's bill or some shit, man. If
what type of electricity was I using for these speakers? Like, my DJ controller don't take that much power, bro. There's no way. So they tried to take me to like school court and all of that, and they dropped me out because I didn't. They kicked me out because I didn't come. I got on the road with Baby like the day after that.
Right.
So, yeah, it was wild.
What did you study in college?
What was that? Media studies and media. I was studying business.
Oh, you were studying business.
Yeah.
That's media. Dope.
This kind of
worked out nice to you then, really.
It's crazy. It's like I took myself to my own college in life after they kicked me out for real.
Yeah.
You can't be getting the experience well. Like being in, you got to be in the field, man. Like that's you can go to college and like be taught stuff, but actually going out there and getting shit done is the most valuable experience, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Real talk.
It's crazy. So you said that was 2018.
Yeah.
And obviously we've had a year off because of the pandemic. So 2018 to 2020, at the start of 2020, DaBaby's one of the hottest rappers in the game.
Yeah.
That's happened for you then in 2 years. And for half of that, you were on the road anyway, right?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's the crazy part.
Yeah, that's a lot to take in 2 years, isn't it? Like some people will spend their whole careers trying to chase the same success. Like how have you handled that, man? And has it been like a rapid like learning like curve?
I would say like, to be honest with you, like even with like me and Baby, like we kind of push each other. Like I see him, like he influenced me a lot. Like I see him turning up and I'd be like, okay, he turned up. Even when he was on the road, like if he was up at 4 a.m. and I was like about to go to sleep, I'm like, nah, I need to get up. I'm trying to work harder. I'm trying to be step ahead of whoever, the other DJ that might be looking at my spotlight. He calls himself the hottest young DJ. I want to be the hottest young DJ. I'm not about to let you do that. I'm going to stay up extra work in. So you feel me? Just building and trying to expand into new ventures and seeing what's going on. I'm like, I'm with whatever is going to take me to the next level. If I had to stop being a DJ today and pursue something else because I feel like it might benefit me as a DJ later on in the future, I'm going to take on that next opportunity if I know it's a guarantee or something that might promise me what I really want to get to. You feel me? So I was just, and it was kind of fast, but I adapt. Like I love challenges. Put me in the middle of like a storm so I can figure out how to make an umbrella that's going to cover me from the whole storm.
What an analogy.
Even on the DJ front, like you're doing college parties, local spots to arenas, to like traveling to festivals, coming over to the UK, like playing to different crowds in different countries as well. Like that's a bit of a flip, man.
It's like learning, going from blending and I didn't really scratch that much in college, but like I did a little bit like in some of my transitions, but doing that to go into arenas, it's easy. Like I thought like doing shows and concerts was going to be so much harder. Like I was going to have to be so much more of a better DJ. I could honestly be a plug and play, like a press and play DJ, even though that's not what I am. Like I'm a lot more creative when it comes to my sets, but I could honestly just cue a song and play it and like say something groovy or trendy before the song drops.
Yeah.
And that's all you really need as a concert DJ, if you want to be real. Well, let me not say all you really need. So it sounds like I'm dumbing it down.
Flex on him, bro. Flex on him.
Yeah. And you know what? It's a high pressure job as well. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure because if that music stops or skips, yeah, then your artist on the stage is looking good like you're in luck, trouble bro. There. Like, yes.
Like, I've been through that before too. Like, oh my God. Like, I remember a show in New York. Like, it was the, dang, what was that? Was that, it was a double XL show, me and Baby on it. Man, the music stops. It was something wrong with their mixer. It had nothing to do with me. But as a DJ, you like the quarterback of this stage, bro.
Oh, they're looking at you regardless, man. They don't care if it's anything else, but it's on the DJ now.
But you gotta know, like, okay, so DJs, that's a part like of your job that you gotta know how to, like, when the storm is going crazy like that, you gotta know how to weather it and slow things down and like change the tide, let the crowd know. Like, I'll stop the show if my music messes up. And it's their fault. I'd be like, hold on, bro. Stop. On the count of three, say, fix the sound. 1, 2, 3, fix the sound. Like, it's important you do stuff like that, though. Let them know what's going on.
Was and that I something? Like, sorry, go on.
Now you're good. I was saying I like including the crowd so they could see like the behind the scenes, like mess ups and stuff like that. But to them, they won't even know it's a mess up.
Yeah, yeah. True. If I don't mention it. Was that something that you did the first time something went wrong, or was it something that was that a reaction that kind of got born out of pressure?
That reaction actually happened after like a couple of like those type of situations. Like at first it was like it stopped and me and Baby were like find a way to like go around it, like for sure. Like I put all my faders down, let them like get the reboot, and like I'll look at them like, y'all gonna fix this? Y'all gonna get this right? Or do I need to like unplug all of this? So we'll figure it out. Me and Baby improvise. And then it was like, now we tying this into our show. Like we started thinking like, okay, this is gonna be a mess up. Almost at least every show is not gonna be a perfect set. So
right. Let's
include that into the show. 1, 2, 3, fix the sound. That's getting the crowd interacted. That's what they want to be anyway. So yeah.
Right. So that's just become part of the set now.
Yeah.
Okay, sick.
It's them biggest pressure moments where you got to learn to fully style it out, man. The music cutting off or the press, because like some people would crumble.
Oh my God.
I've seen man crumble before my eyes before, bro.
All of the people looking at you and you the only person there. The artist can't, they're not sitting in front of no computer, so they can't even act like it was their fault. It's you. It's you, the standalone figure behind these turntables and your computer. So they're looking at you. You see eyeballs. I'm like,
how did
y'all better blink or something, because I'm about to fix this right now. I'm looking at
how did Baby react the first few times it went wrong? Did he turn around and stare at you, and did you get thrown under the bus, or did he hold, did he like carry the silence?
Oh, yeah, are you like homies though, like you can deal with this together kind of thing?
me and Baby like when I was first learning like his style, how fast we were moving at first, it was like sometimes he might reference one song and I might have dropped the wrong song. But I command Z and like put it to the right song super quick. You feel me?
Oh,
like
okay, got you.
I had to teach myself how to do that. You feel me? So me and Baby that had some of those moments, but it's like that helped us grow like the chemistry that we have now. So
yeah,
I
can
figure out a direction, like something like the way I look at like my 1 and 2 decks, like it's like the route that it could go right here on my left deck, and then the route that it could like possibly go on my second decks. And then I put everything in prepare, like just in case he's not talking about either one of these songs, I need to be ready and quick enough to go back and forth.
Okay, so there's not like a set, there's not like a fixed set list for you guys. You're just going off of a cue and...
Yeah, like that was in the beginning. Like there are some songs that are set, like the first like 3 songs are usually set, but with Baby, like, we're so, you might as well consider Baby as a DJ too, because he gonna look at the crowd and go off of what they on.
Right.
Say we might tease one song, like he might say, how old are you? And I'm like, okay, as soon as you say how old are you, we going to 21.
21.
Like, how old are you? But then he goes, I don't know, man. It's looking like too many like vibes in here. I'm like, okay, we're not going 21, we're going vibes now.
You okay. They're like the hot cues, like just to like just say man can just tee you up the little secret message.
Yeah, you feel me? But it's like that hot cue that you thought was one record could be a totally different record. It's like being on your toes. You got to be ready, or you feel me? It's like a disaster.
I think it's key. But even like the same way DJ's approach sets, like, I think it's dope the way the baby does that, because you have to. You could go to a show and the vibe is completely different, and you got to go this way. So like, to be prepared and have like that chemistry between like the artist and the DJ, like, you guys can just off the cuff just flip it and move in the next route.
Because sometimes he'll get lost in the crowd. Like, baby loves to get in the crowd, like, go stand.
It's like, yo.
And I'll be looking for him, just like, because I like to watch his eyes, his head knobs, his movements and all of that. So I'm like, okay, I got to know. He might go like this the wrong way, or like, not even the wrong way, the right way. And I'm like, okay, I know what record this is. But he'll get out in the crowd and I can't see him. I'm like, oh my God, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
But I understand, like, the tide of like where the crowd is, what point of the show we're in, and like what else he might want to hear, or like he might want to go.
Having that DJ mindset. And I guess no matter what you play next, the crowd won't know if it's a mistake or not.
Right. The only person that's going to know is me and baby. And if it's the wrong song, he'll either look at me or be like, hold on, kid. Not yet. And I'll be like, okay.
Bet. Right. Yeah.
Let me get a good comeback. Like, okay, hold on. Bomb, boom.
Yeah, the next one's gonna be fire.
I love you, baby. Yeah, I love you, baby. The crowd says something crazy. Then I know whatever I drop after that, it doesn't really matter. You feel me?
Yeah.
What was it like having like the belief from the baby, like straight off the cuff, to like you say, you'd cover the show next minute, you're on road, you guys are in the studio together, like, and the baby being such like a big artist, like, that must have been super dope for you to have my man just fully believing what you're bringing to the table. Yeah.
Not for sure, because I'm not going to lie to you. Like, some of the conversations we get later down the road, baby, is like, I came into, like, another incident, or not incident, but situation where we ran into each other. I was DJing at No Stress Fest for my boy Isud, and baby was on the show. He like, I heard your voice on the mic. I'm like, who is that? I'm like, okay, it's not even just about me DJing now. Like, this dude is actually, like, interested in what I got going on. He sees my personality, like, baby was seeing me when I was an artist, like, when I was rapping and stuff. Mm-hmm. So he sees where I can go as an influencer or entertainer, period. And it was like a 50-50 split after that. Like, okay, we start playing off of each other, you feel me? Like, on social media, you'll see me and baby, like, joking around, or, like, little clips of us, of natural stuff, of us just being us and, like, being entertainers. He, like, I'm invested in that, too. Like, I see what kid is trying to do and change the culture of how people look at a DJ or a producer, like, you got your artists, you feel me? The artist is in their own light, but as a DJ, a producer, you can still be in your same light at the same time, you feel me? And like, be turned up, or like a star in your same position.
Yeah.
So he was going 50-50 with me on that. He was like, okay, I'm on the same type of time you're on, kid.
Producer-wise, you're like in the perfect position right now to be making records with him. Because obviously seeing the tours and you see what songs are impacting, you're seeing firsthand what the fans are really into. You're seeing firsthand what the performance is like, the energy behind certain tracks, how well they go off. So when it comes to then the studio and you guys sitting together, that must just be such a quick process when you're doing records, right?
Bro, what? I'll go through, sometimes I'll make some loops and I'll go through them for them. Or like, I'll play like, say like somebody from the UK's loops, or like overseas, I go through my email and we'll sit there and listen to some of these ideas, or some of the ones I've like taken and like added on to. It's so quick. It's like a loop is like 2 minutes or whatever, like a minute and a few seconds. I'll play them. We'll listen to like the first 2 seconds of it. If it's not it, next loop. Okay, this, let's cook on it. Add a hi-hat, clap, 808, done. Let's record it. And it's just me and him. We don't have to wait on the engineer. We don't have to wait on another producer to do anything. It's like in a right now type of moment.
Yeah, the fact that you don't have to wait on anybody extra, because like you do your own engineering and stuff as well as the production. So you guys can just, you don't need nobody in it. You guys can just go knock it out of the park and keep it moving.
Like, we travel with the studio for real, like a world, it might as well be like a world-class studio. Like some studios couldn't compare to this. So like that's like a blessing in its own for real. So
what do you travel? So you guys take the whole setup. You gonna take the whole setup on road?
So I take my Pelican. It usually has like outside of my Pelican. Let's start. I got my C800 Sony microphone, and that's what people call the Mariah Carey mic. Baby loves that mic for real.
Okay.
Between that and the U67, that's what we usually record on. But like everything else, like interface, speakers, some small speakers. headphones, and cords. That's all we need. You feel me? I'm gonna plug up and play it before the show in the green room in the hotel. We could plug up outside if we wanted to. If we had to drop cords.
Where's the most random? Where's the most random place that you've made a hit? Because it sounds like you guys are plugging in from wherever possible.
A cruise. That's crazy. The Waterboy made a. We really made. Oh my god! That's when we made intro. It was on a cruise with DJ Khaled and like Cardi B and all that.
On a cruise.
On a cruise, bro. A big dog cruise, like right outside. Like you can look out and see like the water and palm trees. Like we were on the end of the boat.
you're living nice, man.
Yeah, hold on. No, we need to
break that down.
So like on a cruise, was this just like a bunch of artists just vacationing together, or were you booked as performers on the boat, or what? Like, what was that?
I didn't even set the scene. It was a show. It was really like a show. So,
right.
Cardi B was headlining. DJ Khaled was on the tour. It was a lot of other major artists. You feel me? It was a hard like cruise. But Baby was on there, and that's all we was worried about. We was coming to shut down the whole cruise and go crazy. Like we're walking through like the food like lines and stuff, and fans are like, "Oh my god!" It was like something that you would see in a movie, like. People might as well have started running after Baby. Like, you could say that.
Yeah.
Like, people were fanned out. So, but it was dope, though. It was a cool experience. But the event was nice. Us making these records, like, on the water, it gave us a whole different vibe. Set aside from the part that, bruh, his father had just passed away. So, we had made intro. And for him to make a vibe like that in a scene where, like, we're supposed to be working or like about to do a party and like performing Suge and stuff, for him to do intro on that cruise, it was like, yo, this dude, his mind is somewhere else. Like,
yeah, it's not a record you would put alongside like a cruise vibe, tropical palm trees, no, and that, and like, then the intro, you just wouldn't put the two. Bro, that's crazy.
It wasn't a paradise. It wasn't a it wasn't a feel good vibe like the scenery was that we were there. Like the intro was something heartfelt, like something that his fans had never heard of. You never thought somebody could tap into that. Why they in this type of scene? It was like, wow, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
And that's the beginning of the Kirk album, right?
Yeah, intro. That was the first record me and Baby ever had. That record's like platinum. The album's platinum and all of that now.
Wow. So that's the first one you made together. Sorry, Stai.
That's what I was going to say. The same thing.
Okay. On a cruise ship, surrounded by Khaled, Cardi B. What a story.
I can't wait till I make like a documentary down the road. And I'm like, the Waterboy's first real record or placement in the industry was on a cruise, but the record was totally opposite than what you expected. So that's gonna be fun.
And it still went platinum.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That record's so hard, man. Like that record's super dope. Crazy.
Would you say that's the biggest record you two have got together? List some of the ones you guys have made together.
There's
a lot of hits there, I know.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like, I got so many records with bro. So, I'm going to just list some. So, intro, a lot of our records just went platinum too. Like, intro, Find My Way, all the albums went platinum. I got intro, Find My Way, Pick Up, Go, TLC featuring Gunna, Pick Up featuring Quavo, Durkio with Stunna. Jesus, what else do I got a lot of records. I probably can. Oh, my bad. Gucci Peacoat with Meek Mill. Oh, Eight Figures with Meek Mill. Gucci Peacoat. Shania.
Is it at the point now where you lose track of the records?
Yeah, they're no longer just sitting in this file cabinet. There is like in my head, just everywhere. Like I have so many records.
The accolades. Find My Way is an interesting one because in the UK, the most successful DaBaby records so far have all been tunes that would be considered like club hits.
Yeah.
All songs that would work in the club. Find My Way is a slightly different sound to what, 12 months ago, obviously the clubs here have been shut for 12 months, but 12 months ago, Find My Way isn't the sound that would necessarily fit into a UK club sound. But it almost worked perfectly with the pandemic because it became a radio hit and everyone's listening to the radio because they're not in the clubs. Do you know what I mean? Was there any strategy behind pushing that song out, or did you kind of just make it and then let the label do whatever they wanted to do?
Nah, it wasn't really like a strategy. It was just like the fact that it was a hit, for real, like it was a, off the wall hit. Like it wasn't really turned up how people expected. Like Suge, like people were expecting another Suge to come out or like something that sounded like bop. But Find My Way was like a guitar. It was like the rock star before rock star. Like that. I was like, yeah, let's do something like that. So it just it took off in its own world. It did its own thing.
Crazy. I mean, I don't know about that side of the Atlantic, but this side definitely. The fact that clubs were closed and everybody's streaming and getting their music from radio and stuff, like, yeah, it was huge last summer.
That's crazy.
Most of last year, to be fair.
Even the videos, like if you see the video, it's like a movie. That it not even like a movie. It's an actual movie for real. The video is like I think it's like 7 to 10 minutes long, but. Bro was like acting like they went and robbed like a gas station.
It's like a full movie going on there. That's crazy, like, man.
You're a superstar for sure.
How do you balance, like, I feel like you're doing so much, like production, DJing, engineering, recording, traveling, like doing the baby stuff, working on your own Waterboy projects, doing your own albums. How do you balance all this stuff, man? Or is it just a case of like you just kind of built yourself up to it like over the last 2-3 years and now it's just kind of like a natural thing, because there's so much, it feels like there's so much going on.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you, to me in my own head everything plays like together. So like as an engineer, I gotta engineer the record, I'm engineering a record that I produced, and I'm DJing, I'm spinning the record that I produced and I engineered. But then there's me as an influencer, I'm getting on my Instagram and I'm taking my platform to promote this music and making like funny skits and clips to promote what I DJed, produced, and engineered. And then as a DJ, before me being an influencer on IG, I have to perform these songs with the person that I made these songs with. You feel me? And then on the stage, we're throwing water. So I'm promoting my water while we throw this. So it's like,
it's a perfect scenario, really, when you break it down. Like, yeah, that's crazy, man. DJing, production, like, and the fact that you get to perform these songs, you've made these records, so you know these records more than anyone, like, every beat.
Being able to see, like, the lights go up when we play, like, intro, and I come behind the DJ booth, and we rocking out and throwing water, it's like, bro, like, we built this song up. I remember when the song was just, like, a 808, you feel me? And now it's everybody singing it in the whole arena. It's crazy.
Is that what you open the shows with?
Not what we open it with. That's like we call those like showstopper songs. So like, say like, those are like the Shugs or the Bops or the intros. You can play that anywhere throughout this set. We can play it throughout our set more than one time and it's still going to go up. So
yeah.
It's like a wild card if you play it Uno.
would you say that's one of the most fulfilling moments as a producer when you make a record and then you yourself get to go out, perform with the artist, and you hear that in a big room with tens of thousands of people and you see like the reaction? Surely as a producer, that's like the pinnacle.
Bro, that's like a great moment. Like you get to see how you pretty much wanted your beat to make people feel. You see it making them feel that way or making them move and stuff. It's like, dang. It's like your baby. It's like your child. Real talk. You really nurtured this and put in all of the elements and the sounds for it to be what it is. Like if you listen to intro, like the 808 on it, I want it to be like something that might be able to touch you, like it's heartfelt. So like the 808 is like, So in the club, you got these big old speakers. It's literally hitting everybody in their chest, exactly what you wanted to do. And they I've seen some people go like this. Oh.
I was trying to have a heart attack in the rave, in the dance.
They're too close to the speakers, man. They're getting that shockwave.
So it's definitely a great moment when you're able to see somebody performing on records.
How would you describe your sound then, bro? Obviously, you do a lot of hip hop stuff, but you're influenced by, like you said before, Katy Perry's and pop influences and stuff. Like, how would you personally describe your sound?
I would say Waterboy, for real. Like, what does my sound mean? I would say it's the Waterboy sound, for real. Because a wave, if you think about it, a wave, it's more than one wave. You got the waves that crash, you got the tsunamis, and you got the low tide. So, like, the low tide to me might be like R&B, like sweet mellow music. The ones that are crashing, it might be music that's gonna make people mosh pit and go crazy. And then like you got the medium waves where it might be like the frequency where it's like regular rap music, like hits and stuff like that. So
he's fully thought that one through, innit?
I was gonna say, I love the breakdown of that analogy. Is amazing.
That's dope. That's super dope.
Bro, I'm on Waterboy time, bro.
Talk about expanding the Waterboy sound then. So are you at a stage now where you're kind of, you said earlier you're looking to work with other producers and sign other producers, but are you at a stage right now where you're starting to build a team, or is it just an aspiration?
Ah, for sure. It's already in motion. I got a producer, Jerry B, signed the Waterboy sound right now. And I have, like, I got the production side of Waterboy sound. Like, I got a videographer, photographer signed. So we're trying to, it's like me building a team of producers, really, that's going to take over the internet and make it easy. Like, because I'm going to sign people that's in the UK, but we'll still have those opportunities where they'll be on, like, BeatStars and selling beats, or, like, they sending me their loops and melodies and I'm placing them over here in the US at the same time. So that's Waterboy to me too. So the producers overseas, the producers here in my town, and the videographers, you feel me? Like, we trying to take over the globe, bro, with this Waterboy side. And I'm teaching producers how to market themselves at the same time. So
okay. It's kind of like a creative, like, collective then, really.
Yeah,
like
that's what you really could say, a creative collective team for real.
Super dope.
Yeah.
Mad.
So in terms of, like, let's touch on the production marketing then, because I see, like, various different things are working for producers, especially where there's so many young producers at the moment.
Right.
It seems to be like so many different strategies. There doesn't seem to be like one particular route to go down to bust as a producer.
I feel like it's just up to the producer. Like, some people might not be with the whole social media thing, like showing itself too much, but it's still other ways for you to promote your music and get your name heard and let people put like a face with a name or a face with a tag that they hear on these records. Like, that's really what the important part is, because it's more money. It's not even just about the money. It's more opportunities out there. Like, when somebody can see, oh, this is who actually made this beat. Yeah. Maybe they want him to be in a Netflix show because they like the way you look and they like the way your beat sound. Like, I wanna step into those opportunities just because they're there. Like, if it's a no or a yes, you never know. Try it out. See what's up with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's key, you know, because I see, like, especially with the UK sound at the moment, there's a lot of producers, young producers, that are doing just loops and melodies and doing collaborations with some of the bigger guys. But the younger producers, a lot of them are kind of staying incognito. Their Instagram, you never see what they look like. Their Instagram is just purely posts of their loops and stuff like that, and there's no like personality.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you don't really get a piece of them. You're right, the personality thing kind of misses sometimes.
That's kind of, I'm not gonna lie to you, that's kind of like what my initiative, like my goal is. Like, I want to take those kids, like, that are not being seen as much. Like, some of these producers, they don't really like tag the people that might make these loops and these melodies. I'm like, bruh, making music is a collaborative sport to me. So it's like, why not, just like the hand was given to me, why not extend your hand to somebody else and, like, kind of show them the way, but, like, give them, like, some footsteps to follow so they can, in some way or eventually, get to where you at. You feel me? Because it's always about timing to me. So, like, a producer, I get some of these producers, they're like, we don't want this younger producer that only made the melody on the record to get all the shine for the record. I'm like, bro, your time has already came. You done turned up. You done went and signed your pub deal. You done had fun. Let somebody else's time come too and let them turn up and do what you did.
Head up.
On that.
Great mentality, man.
Yeah, bro.
What's your current situation at the minute then, bro? Have you got, you're locked in with a publishing deal. Like, what's your current status?
Yeah, so, really, Sony Publishing. That's who I'm signed to for my pub deal. And then, I'm about to go sign this huge
the new thing. Super deal.
The new thing.
The super deal.
We'll keep an eye out for that.
The super producer Waterboy deal. That's about to. It's a lot of things about to change. Like, I'll be, like, right now, me independently dropping my own records. Like, I got the record with DDG that I dropped as my first single. It's like 2.3 million on YouTube right now. I dropped that in December. We got like over 2 million streams on Spotify and Apple Music. Like, so me being able to see that I can really do that right now, it's like, why would I sit back and just be a DJ or a club DJ when we can do the same things, the same numbers that some of these artists are getting. And yeah. some of these artists might not even be hitting those numbers. It's like, man, it's so much I'm trying to do. It take over the world. This next deal is going to open up some of those possibilities and those avenues I couldn't really touch myself.
I see you getting your acting game on in the video. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I see, bro. Yeah. Kicking away the homies, the gal coming up to the weapon.
bro, like I'm not gonna lie to you. I really want to get into acting for real. Like in all of my videos, that's why I say like I'm showing producers and DJs how to market themselves and be an entertainer. Like we can do this too, bro. Like we're not gonna act like some people. Like say you went to school or like somebody that's an artist right now that's popping. They probably was in the same drama class that the little weird producer was in, but the weird producer was going crazy on their monologues and all that. Let's show the world what we got going on. You feel me? Like, that's what I want to do. So in all of my videos, I'm showing skits. Like, you'll see me and Jerry Beats. Like, the next song I'm about to put out in a few weeks or whatever, man, you would have thought Jerry Beats was an actor. Or you would have thought
I was. Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Dope.
Yeah, how do you prioritize?
You're not going in.
How do you prioritize where to put the most energy into with all of these different things? How do you look and say, right, okay,
yeah,
that one is where I need to put the most energy to get 2 million streams on this, as opposed to doing it maybe like sitting in some studio sessions and making beats? How do you know like how to structure your time and what to give
time management with
to?
All? Yeah, I was going to say the management.
Because I'm going to be honest, bro. The reason I ask. It's because I struggle with it. That's one thing that I'm like, I struggle to balance all of the different things that I have going on.
It's almost like make your situations or make them work for you so that you don't have to necessarily like put aside like a certain time to do this. Like let like how I was giving you like that chain or like how I'm an engineer, it flows into me being a producer. See like the flow. And like I would, for me, like I wrote down everything that I do and I just looked at like how they connect to each other. You feel me? And let them do that naturally. So that way you don't have to like force like I need to do this right now. No, you really could be doing this right now. And then it's going to lead into you doing the next thing. You feel me? Like they kind of play together. So or you feel me, figuring out what needs the most amount of your time. Like what's your job? Like what are you doing? What plays into that? What's going to help you get that to the next thing that you might need to go into as well? So like right. really like slowing everything down for you and then figuring it out.
Yeah, so let me question you on that then. So using the production and the engineering in your position right now, like if you were a brand new producer and didn't really have a budget for it, I could understand. I make the beats, make the songs, then I engineer it. But now you're in a position, especially with the publishing with Sony and stuff, you have access to the top tier engineers. Mm-hmm. So you could outsource the engineering and spend that time making the next beat for the next hit. What's behind the decision making to engineer it instead of working on the creative side?
But the thing is, engineering and producing are two separate things. So it gives it draws a line in between it. So you don't even, unless you want it to go outsource and get another engineer, like engineering and producing is not really going to clash at each other because producing is making the beat, engineering is making the song. You feel me? So.
You are
like two separate things to pretty much worry about in their own elements, for real.
Keeping it in-house as well, man. Like if you got the team to do it amongst yourselves, like why outsource it?
Say, even if you got the team and somebody doesn't know how to engineer, like if somebody is really behind you or like, you feel me, somebody might have the expertise or a little bit on like what they need to be that position that you need them to fill, tell them to get on it. Like, explore it, you feel me? And just be like a teammate or like, yeah, for real. Cause that could be like you being a part of the team and not really doing nothing. Like you might just be coming around cause that's your guy, but make yourself a asset, bro. Like something that could help whoever the CEO is get to the next level. Cause that might be what they actually needed.
Mm-hmm. Gotta provide value, man. I hear that.
Bro.
Yeah, there's definitely a difference between being an actual team member and then just being affiliated, isn't it? Like this. And you see it so often, especially, I don't know if it happens with other genres, but you see it so often with rap.
Yeah.
Like an artist will turn up somewhere, there's 20 guys. And it's like,
None of them 20 guys are part of the team. Okay, let me stop. One of them might be the blunt roller. You feel me? But the other 19.
Real talk. My God. Would you say that's an integral part of like this, having success as an artist is having a good, close-knit, tight team like what you guys have?
Not for sure, because your team, like everyone else, the CEO, the artist, the whoever the main superstar is, let's put it like that, he can only do but so much. You feel me? He can't be his own accountant. He can't be his own financial advisor. He can't be his own manager. The guy that might go walk up and set up the stage, put his waters on the stage before he come out, because you know where he's going to walk to. You feel me? Like, say your artist is on stage, you know he likes to walk to this certain spot and he always wants some water, but he don't want nobody walking out on stage to give him the water. Be the guy that sets up the stage before he even gets there.
Exactly.
Like, be the guy that walks in the studio and sets up the mic before he gets there. Like, people need that for sure, because it helps everything in the circle. Yeah.
Are these the things that you've taken on? Like, do you set up the stage and everything before the shows, or is that a tour manager's job now?
Yeah, it just depends on what it is. Like, at this point, it's like I have my own team too, so they set up the stage for me. And you feel me? But I'm really setting up the stage for bruh at the same time. So it's like a chain of command type situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go on, Dubs.
No, I was gonna say, how big is the team now? Because when you guys came over. I know, like, when we met, do you remember when we met there? It was like in the library. Do you remember that room? It's like in a library of the London Hotel.
This guy's probably done 200 shows since then.
That was the London Hotel, wasn't it? Or was it the London, or was it the... It might have been. It was some hotel, but I remember it being a library, and that's where we had first met you, because it was a room. I think like tele chairs and stuff. Like, yeah,
that's that. Right. But with you at the time, baby... Rico was there, and who else was it? Was it Rico's brother?
Yeah, Spicy.
Spicy, that's it, yeah.
So like, as you expect, like the team, BDB as a whole has grown. We've added like new artists. So like with new artists and new members, you need new management. So we had to expand, and that just comes with growing. Like maybe he's seeing like a lot of like new opportunities and stuff like that. And with new opportunities, it comes more power. You need more power and more like people behind it to, you feel me, catch up on the work that baby might not be able to, you feel me? So assistance and stuff like that. So we definitely grown.
The blunt roller, of course.
Yeah.
The blunt roller is the most important guy.
I think, I'm not gonna lie, those type of positions low key matter. Like the blunt roller, the water boy. I'll be the water boy. If Brent needs some water, I'll come hand him some water. The towel boy, all of that plays a part into making his job easier so he can perform. You feel me?
Listen, without the blunt roller, bro, the vibes are going flat quick, man. That guy's got, you gotta keep him on deck. My days.
Blunt, where's the blunt?
You shouldn't even have to ask now. It just needs to be there.
Just needs to be ready, bro. Make five of them, innit? Just don't make one.
See, like the last ash fall for the blunt. It's like, here you go, bro.
Ready. Load up. That's mad. Yo, bro, if you could give any advice to like any upcoming producers or DJs that are trying to be producers and do this whole like multitude of things that you're doing, like what would be the key piece of advice you would say to them, even so young, but like the world is your oyster, man. Like at 22, it's crazy.
Like, I will honestly say something because of something that I know has taken me a long way. Stay consistent, bro. You feel me? Like that's like the end all be all to me. Like, I don't know how many people say that, but stay consistent because of the fact that even if you like, say you are a trash producer, if you stay consistent enough where like, to the point where like people start tapping in and telling you that your music is trash, is going to influence you to get better. Mm-hmm. And then the consistency after that is going to be you getting better. You feel me? Because of all the negative energy that people might've been bringing to you. So if you stay consistent and you hard, you're only going to get better. You stay consistent and you might be trash. You still going to get better because you're taking in this advice and this, you feel me? All of these side notes that's going to make you want to be the better you. You feel me? So.
It sounds like such a simple thing like to do, but like being consistent, like you say, with all the challenges, people might be cussing your shit. You come up against barriers, you just literally got to get the tunnel vision, innit, man?
Exactly. It's going to give you that tunnel vision that the consistency was supposed to do to make you want to be better. You feel me? So,
you know what? That's one of those things that's only obvious with hindsight, though. I feel like, because you could be plugging away, working at something for 10 years and not realize that you're one day away from the breakthrough moment. And you might just be like, you know what, 10 years in, I've been doing this for 10 years, I'm stopping. And you know what the perfect example is? Have you ever seen that meme of the two guys digging underground?
Yeah,
and there's like a really thin
wall is like right there.
And then there's like diamonds on the other side. Sure. And one of them's walking away and he's like so close and the other ones just keep digging.
That's a big part, bro. You feel me? Like you never know. Like it might be, bro. Like I could say like, okay, I've accomplished so much. I got platinum gold records. I'm on tour with an artist that's really like top three in the game and he not number three. You feel me? Like I could be like, okay, I'm accomplished. This is where I want to be at. I got good wealth, successful. I'm gonna stop right here. Tomorrow could be the day that something on Instagram takes intro on one of my records, a meme comes up and it turns into a hit and it goes back onto the radios again. It's like, dang, I just stopped everything that I was doing to let this music stuff go. And then look at what's going on now. Like the attention that I really was chasing after came the next day. Stay consistent. You feel me? Stay consistent.
I feel like some people as well, like they struggle to stay hungry in it. Like you have the success and it's all kind of there. And then it's still you got to wake up with that same hunger still, but you've already got everything in front of you in it. So like, how do you keep the hunger up? Like you've got a good team. So I guess you lot are all driving each other as well, which helps.
The hunger definitely I ain't gonna lie to you. Like consistency is my word right now. So us staying consistent, being up and looking at each other like, okay, I see him being consistent and he's not going to bed until like 3 a.m., 2 a.m. So like, what's the difference? Why am I not up trying to go just as hard as him? It almost turns into a competition between
you.
For real. Like even between like the artists, they'll see Baby post a picture on his page with a microphone. So then you'll see everybody else go get in the studio the same night. Everybody could have been on the game or something, but everybody going to get in the studio like, okay, yeah, let me get in that mode. Let me refocus and stay consistent on what I want to be.
It sounds like you guys got like a healthy competition within the team, innit? Like which drives you guys on to just keep elevating. That's super dope.
Sure. Like even when it's us in the studio, who gonna have the hardest verse? Who gonna put the hardest?
Is that what it's like? Yeah.
Yeah. Who gonna put the hardest hi-hat? Who gonna put the hardest melody on this song? So
dope. Are you gonna be doing any joints with the baby? Like are you two like as a joint team? Not, but like you. Are you rapping together on tracks or like what's
Okay. Honestly, would that be my bro? Like we could do something like that just for the fun of it because we both like super talented artists and having fun. But like I'm doing even like a record that I just songwriting that I was doing for Ty Dolla $ign. He ended up hearing the record. My security played it for him in the car, and I'm like, he like, kid, you need to drop this. I'm like, nah. Feel me? I want to be in executive mode. I want to be in songwriter mode because artist spotlight is your spotlight. You feel me? I'm gonna be a star at my position. You feel me?
How'd you find the writing side of things? Like
me being
right, because writing is a different ball game, innit, when it comes to writing the hits.
But it's like the people that I work with that like my songwriting, it comes off of like the sound that I enjoy. You feel me? Like the Waterboy sound that I like. So it's not like I'm forcing. You feel me? A different songwriting, you feel me, type of vibe on myself. Like people are coming to really buy into me. Like they coming to buy into me. Like say it could be a record that I would put out if I was an artist myself, but they understand and they like the fact that it's a hit and it goes well with their sound too. So those are the type of people I'm bringing into my songwriting camp.
Oh, I want to hear this Ty Dolla joint, man. He's one of my favorite artists too, man.
Crazy. Hard
song.
He's
super dope.
He's getting ready to cut that now. So that's going to be hard.
Is that like on an R&B type wave? Yeah.
Like a trap soul,
That's hard,
bro. Take over the world.
I feel like as a songwriter as well, there's opportunity. There's so much more opportunity to be super active. Like for example, if you write 10 songs for 10 different artists, they could all be in the top 100 at the same time. But the way it works, especially with radio playlists. The chance of one artist having 10 songs on a radio playlist at the same time is very, very, very slim.
It's like little to none. But it's like just the fact that, you feel me, people don't understand being a songwriter, they're basically an artist on a song. Yeah. Uh-huh. But your percentage more than likely is going to be smaller. But it's like, cool. You take that with being a songwriter. You still get an advance that like a producer might get because it's a split. You got the song, you got the artist side, then you got the production side of a record. You feel me? So as a producer, you feel me? You're the producer over here. Say the artist want to come over and be part of the production side too. That's like a producer being a songwriter to be on the artist side of the table. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's different ways to play into the industry.
When you're doing that and you're sat with an artist, so you got Ty Dolla $ign in the studio and whatnot, and you decide certain things, how do you go about, like, I know the split sheets are a thing, but how do you go about deciding the business side of it? Or do you just, to save the vibe and stop it becoming like not creative, do you just let management deal with that stuff? Or have the conversation with the artist?
Nah, when you in the studio, unless the artist really want to have that conversation, because it's not that deep. It's like, this is, those terms, they take, these are like agreements that like, it's going to take like a day or two when you finishing these agreements before they go off to like being on the DSPs, like the song being on the DSPs and all that. Mm-hmm. I let my handle take care of, my lawyer take care of all of that, because he knows, like, we both got like a relationship where like, I know what these certain percentages are, the royalties, the fees, the percentages, all of that. But he knows exactly how you want things to go. You got like a certain limit that you don't want to go past, or like, mm-hmm. you don't want to be disrespectful to them, but you know your worth at the same time. Let him and the artists and their lawyer and attorneys and managers figure that out. Y'all be creative and do what y'all do.
Yeah, I guess it saves relationships that way as well, wouldn't it? Because then if there's any disagreement, at least it's going from you to the lawyer, to their lawyer, to them. And any kind of like bad tensions just getting diffused through the management chain.
The studio, them conversations aren't for the studio anyway, man. If you go to the studio, you protect the energy, make the music, like deal with that shit afterwards.
That might be crazy. Like if you're in the studio and you're songwriting and
stop talking about money. This
word is gonna be $10,000. I'm gonna look at you like, I'm gonna be like, bro, like, can we just be creative first before we even talk about that?
Real talk.
Yeah. So yeah.
What's the plan for you now then, going forward, kid? Like, have we got a project coming from you? Like, what's the moves for Waterboy?
It's a lot. It's a lot of Waterboy sound taking over 2020. 2021, 2022, 2023, everything. What did my boy say? 41, 42, 40. Like, I'm trying
this
to take
over. Energy is crazy, man.
I'm trying to take over the world with Waterboy sound and like put out, I'm going to put out an album. I want to be the next DJ Khaled, the next DJ Mustard. I want to put out my own records. Let's change the tide of the world. I want to make the world surf again, for real. I want to like bring this Waterboy sound to the world. What's in my head, I want y'all to hear it too. So these records, these artists, these producers, songwriters, all that. I don't know what.
Coming for all the bags.
Yeah. What can you tell us about the album? Tell us as much as you can without Chris emailing me to take the podcast down.
And Island Vibes, Waterboy Sound. It's, bro, like, and young. It's super young. Like we got the old heads, we got the established artists in the industry, but I wanna reach to the artists that are young. They might not be seen yet, or some of them are seen, but they're just only getting started in their journey. You feel me? Like,
got you.
So I'm trying to take over the world with the youngest right now. That's what I'm on.
Great place to start, man, because as they grow, there you go. You've got them under your wing.
I feel like they're getting younger now as well, man. You're seeing like 14-year-old producers making fire. DJs like 12.
Dude,
doing the most. It's like
going crazy. I'm like, I didn't even know how to do that scratch. How do you know that? You take But I'm like, you feel me? I love that though. I love to see how young things can get. And like, we breaking these stereotypes. Like, you don't have to be a older cat. You feel me? Just to turn up and have fun in the element that you want to be in.
So. There's no rules no more, man. Back in the day, man, be like, oh, you're too young to do this. Oh, you can't be this guy and do that guy. Like, that's who.
Those rules, man, broken. We stepped on them. We stepped on the rules.
We're in a time now where we've got YouTubers that are challenging professional champion boxers.
What, like, what?
And they're getting answers.
Bro.
And getting answers, bro. The fact that they're getting answers is the craziest.
We're coming down to this.
There's YouTubers getting number one record. So, Kid, you know, you must have heard of KSI, right? The YouTuber.
Yeah.
He's big in the States. So he released the hip-hop album, went to number one. That was here. I don't know if it was like a
worldwide
number one, but yeah.
Well, he had some features on there. So did he have Migos and some other kids on there? They always going in.
Like, we're in a time now where the tools to do everything are literally at our fingertips. Like,
that's like, it's basically saying you can do whatever you want right now, bro.
Yeah.
It don't matter what it is. Like, if you are a YouTuber and you want to be a water salesman and make your next Pepsi or Coca-Cola, you feel me? Like, you can do that.
I'm a water rep.
You feel me? Like, you can do that.
Yes. Yeah. Amazing. Crazy. So when's the next show, man? When are you back out on the road?
I think July, or I think end of June, we're supposed to be going to like Cancun or somewhere.
Oh, okay, but nice.
We got like the Rolling Louds and all of that coming up in Miami soon too, so.
Yeah. So do you guys have to connect to then like reestablish the set list and rehearse, add the new joints to it? Or do you find like it's a instant chemistry as soon as you're back on stage?
Nah, for sure. Cause we threw our own show in Dallas, and it looked like Rolling Loud for real, but right. It's like, yeah, we're going to want to reconnect with the audience and showing them how we get down, like, performing wise, because Baby's a rock star. I'm a rock star and all the other artists are rock stars. So it's introducing them. And then as far as like a set list, it's like at this point, we figuring out like those old songs that we were performing before. Do they still remember those? So it's like a trial and error when we get to these shows. We just go test them. I might drop like songs back to back, like just a surprise, Baby, like see which one the crowd might know.
Yeah,
and Baby
respects
that though. He's like, okay, I see what you're doing. Test the water, see what they're doing and what they like, what they know. Because we haven't performed Rockstar. Like Suge, we probably performed that 100,000 times. Rockstar, we probably performed it 5 times, bro.
Right. I was gonna say, because Rockstar is definitely the song that I feel like Rockstar opened up the next level.
Yeah, I feel like man opened the bonus levels with that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You defeated the boss with Rockstar, because even like, for example, that song, I've got an 8-year-old son. That's one of his favorite songs.
Crazy.
Like, that's crazy. He knows all the words.
The song took over the world. And like, if you want to be real, off of Rockstar and like some of the other records Baby had, we were going to like, we were about to go to Dubai. We were about to do Coachella. We were in the UK for like a month. We were in the UK for like a month, bro. We were going to Africa until COVID came and it wiped all of that away.
Wow.
So now it's like we're playing pickup now. So
yeah. All
of those things that we were about to do is like getting back into those situations and seeing what's next, pretty much.
You man must be hungry and ready to go now, bro, man, isn't it?
Bro, I've been so ready to like rock out in front of like a crazy crowd in so long, especially like with the image that I've grown into. Like a lot of like people see me a lot more. They see what I got going on. So me running out onto the stage or like coming from behind the DJ booth isn't weird, so to say, to them anymore. It's like, okay, kid, he's a superstar. You feel me? Like, we expect him to do that. Is he gonna surf? Is he gonna throw the surfboard out in the crowd and surf or what?
You and the Baby gonna have to switch roles, isn't it? He's normally in the crowd, right? Get my man behind the turntables and you go for a quick surf and see how that goes.
That's funny you said that. We do that sometimes.
Oh, like, snap.
He'll go DJ, like, he'll play with the faders and stuff, and I'll rap his word.
So you know, you don't have a man come to the booth and they just start doing this with the faders.
Yeah.
That's amazing, dope, man. That's dope. Well, brother, it sounds like the world is your oyster, man. Like, just your whole story and everything that you got going on. Yo, it's super gassy, bro.
Sure. Yeah, proper cool, man. So before we go, drop all your socials. Where can the people find you, man?
Yeah, so hottest young DJ, super producer in the world. You can find me at I Am DJ Kid on IG, on Twitter. If you want like the Snapchats and all of that, just tap in. Just see what's going on. You feel me? I'm gonna throw you some. Yeah, you can turn up with me. I'm everywhere though. Beatstars.com/IamDJKid. That's for like the artists that are underground and they might want to get like a beat from me or like my producers. You can go on there and lease beats from me for like $50.
What's the site called? Beatstar.
Beatstars.com/IamDJKid. Yeah.
We need to get you back on the YouTube, bro. That cooking with kids stuff is dope.
Oh my God. And that's man.
We need to get that shit moving again, bro.
That's Waterboy Wednesdays. I was going to take over with that, like, all since like January, but I didn't want to saturate too much.
I got you.
Until okay. I knew they were ready. And it's I'm starting to see that people are ready to see the content that I'm putting out. So 100. More Waterboy Wednesdays on the way.
Yes.
Yo, let me let's get a quick picture for the grandma, guys. Come then. Double what you like. Oh. Oh. My guys.
Yeah, bro.
Yo, kid, thank you for your time, bro. Yeah, when you come to Manchester, I'm gonna reach out to you. Like, you're literally on my doorstep, man. So yeah,
let's go. Hey, look, you gotta bring up to the show, come vibe out with me too.
Yeah, we'll right. do that. 100
for sure.
All right, my guys, kid,
big up, brother.
Big up your chest.
Until next time, my guy.
Next time, my guys.
Peace.
Love.